Do you want to win the victory? I'm certain that you do. If you're here tonight, I believe you want the victory. With that in mind, I would like to share with you tonight an indispensable, absolutely integral key to winning the victory. You will not be able to win the victory without what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is actually beneficial in all kinds of walks of life. Whether we're talking about your career or your schooling, talking about your relationships, your family, your finances, any kind of success. What I'm going to share with you tonight is going to apply to all of it. But of course, here, what we're concerned about is the spiritual victory. We understand that we are embattled. We are at war, and there is an enemy who is attacking us, and he will stop at nothing. He will do anything. He will rip your life apart. He will rip our families apart. He will attack you in ways that you could not imagine being attacked. If you want to win the victory tonight, we are going to learn one key that will help us. Indispensable. You can't win the victory without this. We find it in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6. In Proverbs 24 and verse 6, the scripture there reads, "For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory." In abundance of counselors there is victory. I'd like for us to think, just for a very brief moment tonight, some things that this passage demonstrates to us that if we long to have the victory, we must surrender to. Victorious counselors. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty Father in heaven, you are the great God. And of course, you are the ultimate counselor. And we pray, Father, that you bring other counselors into our lives. We're thankful for our shepherds that you have provided for us, who can guide us and lead us. We're thankful for our other brothers and sisters here who can show us the ways that they have gone that have been beneficial in their walk and in their battle. And we're thankful for these relationships that we have. And we pray that you fill our lives with wise counselors that will help us and direct us and point us, going the way before us, bringing us along with them. We pray that you help us as a congregation to be individual Christians who are willing to surrender to those who offer wise and godly counsel. And Father, we pray that what we do here tonight is find wise and godly counsel from your word, here from this proverb. We pray that you be with us tonight, that what we do brings honor and glory to you. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for letting us be a part of your family. Thank you for your counsel, and thank you for your counselors. We love you, Father, and we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. There are four very simple, very brief lessons that we're going to learn from this. It's not going to take us much time to work through these lessons, but I think they are absolutely important. And I hope that we don't think because it doesn't take much time to talk about them that they're less important. I want us to learn four things from Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 7, where it points out that in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. The very first thing that I hope we recognize is you won't win the victory by accident. You will not win the victory by accident. Look at the context. Look at the context of this verse. We had this entire context read just to us moments ago. Beginning in verse 3, it says, "By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, by knowledge the rooms are filled. With all precious and pleasant riches, a wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might." It talks about a house being built. Let me ask you, has anybody ever seen a house get built by accident? You ever talk to somebody and you say, "Well, how did this house get here?" He says, I have no idea. I was just here. I was playing with some bricks and some lumber. And lo and behold, when I was done, house. Of course, that never happens. Or it talks about the room being filled with pleasant riches. That's the idea of a house being decorated. Have you ever walked into somebody's house and said, who chose these colors? And they say, I don't know. We just brought some paint cans in here, and the next thing we know, green. No, of course that doesn't happen. Who decorated it this way? I have no idea. We just had some of these things. There were some pictures laying around, and I brought this furniture in here, and I tripped and fell, and it just got on the walls this way. Of course not. That doesn't happen. Houses don't get built on accident. Rooms don't get painted on accident. Rooms at my house don't get painted at all. But they don't get painted on accident unless Marita does it. She begs me, and I say, that's not my job. We had that put in the vows. I don't have to paint. They don't get painted on accident. They don't get decorated on accident. Those are things that are done on purpose. And what we need to understand is that our victory will not happen on accident. We cannot trip blindly through our days and weeks and hope that at the end, just accidentally, we'll have the victory. It's just not going to work. But the second thing we need to recognize is that what it says is you won't win the victory alone. You won't win the victory alone. Proverbs says this really on multiple occasions. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. In chapter 15 and verse 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Chapter 20 and verse 18. Chapter 20 and verse 18. Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. You won't win the victory alone. And yet, far too often, that is exactly what we're trying to do. Especially here in our culture. In our culture, it's almost as if we have this idea that what we want to demonstrate is that we pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. We are an independent culture. Once a year, we celebrate that. But it's not just about our nation. We bring it down to the individual level as we try to demonstrate to everyone that we don't need anyone or anything. We'll get this job done, and it just won't happen. It just won't happen. You will not get the victory alone. Far too often, we are carrying around with us our image consultant in the back of our mind who is trying to make sure that it puts off this wonderful image to everybody else, because how embarrassing it would be if they found out that we, yes, even we in the Crozier House, needed help and instruction and guidance sometimes, a lot of times. How embarrassing it would be if they found out that sometimes we mess up and sometimes we don't know what to do next. And sometimes we need someone who will come in and provide counsel and say, go this direction. This is what will help. We carry that image consultant as we try to prove to everyone that we've got it all under control. And so often we do not. We're not going to accomplish this alone. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9, it says this, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. What makes a sweet friend? Someone who can give counsel. Do you have friends that you allow to give counsel? Far too often what happens is because we so much want to portray that everything is okay, that the friends that we have, we keep at that surface level of talking about weather and sports and sometimes politics. And of course, we'll talk about all those other people who don't have it all together. But in our own relationships, being able to talk about those places where I need help and guidance and counsel and where you need help and guidance and counsel, we don't ever dig down to that level because, oh, how awful it would be if you found out I needed some of that. The reality is, if we don't have friends that have permission to give us earnest counsel, if we don't have those connections where we work together with one another and open our hearts and share what's going on so that we can help each other. If we don't have that, we are not going to win the victory. And sadly, there are those who fool themselves. There are those who fool themselves who, yes, gather together counselors, but they don't ever open up with them about what's honestly going on. Instead, they twist the story so that the people who are counseling them will tell them the things they always wanted to hear anyway. Or they gather together counselors who they know will just affirm what they wanted to do to begin with. How easy that is. How easy it is to simply look for the people who would just tell us what we wanted to hear, who instead of giving us counsel would just give us affirmation. And that's not the same thing. Far too often, instead of seeking good constructive counsel, we're seeking validation and affirmation. Those are important things. We need those things sometimes. But if we want to win the victory, we need wise counsel. We will not win the victory alone. I know. How often I have needed wise counsel. The problem is that when I hear your problems, I know what you need. Oh, that's so easy. It's easy for me to hear what you're going through and be able to tell you what you need. But for all of that wisdom, I don't know what it is about my own problems that completely baffle me sometimes. I think I've shared this before, and I'll say it again, and you'll probably hear it even more in the future. But the reality is, sometimes I think when I am facing my own problems, I could go down to the park and find the nearest drunk person, and they would give me better counsel about my problems than I give me myself sometimes. A wonderful mantra that I love to share, and that is, it's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle. And when we're in the midst of our own stuff, it's hard to tell what to do next. As much as we want to say, we've got it, we know it, you're not going to win the victory alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You're not going to win the victory by accident, and you're not going to win the victory alone. But we need to keep in mind this third point. You won't win the victory with foolish counselors. There in Proverbs chapter 24, notice the last thing it says in that context in verse 27. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the gate he does not open his mouth. The idea of the gate is where in these old walled cities, that's where the older and wiser men would meet to conduct the affairs of the city, to hand out advice, to counsel those who were in need. That would happen in the gates. The fool wouldn't open his mouth because too often he'd opened it before and those who were wise had to shut it for him. And they learn, I got to keep my mouth shut here. This is too much for me. This is too high for me. The fool and his counsel is not going to help you. And what we have to learn is that we're not going to win the victory by accident, and we're not going to win it alone. But when we gather together counselors around us, we've got to make sure that we're gathering together wise counselors, because foolish counselors are not going to help us. I think perhaps the greatest example of this is from Rehoboam. Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12. We're not going to read the chapter, but I'm just going to relate to you the story. Solomon had died, and all of Israel has come to Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12 to present themselves to him as their servants. But Jeroboam stands up and on behalf of the Israelites says, King, your father had too much of a weight on us. He burdened us too much. Please lighten our loads and we will follow you. And Rehoboam said, give me 3 days. On the third day, I'll let you know my decision about this. And he went to get counsel, and he went to those who were older, who had counseled his father. And these older counselors said to him, yes, listen to what the people are saying. Do that. Lighten their loads. Your father was being too strict with them. Lighten those loads, and they'll serve you. And then he went to the younger counselors. And the younger counselor said, absolutely not. This is the dumbest thing we've ever heard. Look, Rehoboam, if you're going to be king, you need to show them what it's like to be king. You need to let them know that your little finger is thicker than your father's thigh. That if he pressed, you're going to press doubly hard. And Rehoboam liked that. That sounded good. After all, that meant more money in his coffers. That meant more servants in his palace. And so he went to the people on the third day and he said, no, I'm not going to lighten your load. In fact, I'm going to increase it. 10 of the tribes left the kingdom that day. Because Rehoboam listened to the foolish counselors. The kingdom was divided and 70% of the kingdom was lost from the family of David. That is listening to foolish counselors. You got to make sure that when you're surrounding yourself with counselors, you're surrounding yourself with those who are wise, who will give you wise and godly counsel. Let me encourage you. Here's a couple of things to think about there. The reality is, if somebody is your age, they probably don't have a whole lot more wisdom than you, especially as we're dealing with the younger ages, teens and 20s. Certainly when you get beyond that, I know there are different life experiences that may cause someone who's younger than you to have different experience and wisdom. But especially in those younger ages, the reality is there's just not enough of life that's gone by that someone who's your age that probably knows a whole lot more wisdom than you do. And so when you're seeking wise counsel and you're just going to people who are your own age rather than getting wise counsel, usually you're drowning in shared ignorance. Pursue wise counselors. I'll suggest to you that folks who are in the world, who are in false religion, those who are even in false Christianities, I'm not saying there aren't smart people and wise people in the ways of the world, but especially when it comes to winning our victory, if they're not in Christ, they're not going to give you wise counsel. They're not going to be able to point you to the victory. And so your friends who aren't in Jesus Christ that are giving you this advice about how you should act next, that's not wise counsel. And I encourage you, I'm not saying that wise counsel is only whatever is the exact opposite of what you thought. But listen, if you've got 9 people that have all agreed with you, you need to at least find that 10th man who's going to give you the other perspective, who's going to challenge you, who's going to say, wait a minute, let's think about this from the other side. When you get done with it, you may still go with the 9. But if all you've ever heard is there's people who just said, yes, go do what you were going to do, you may not be getting wise counsel. You want to be able to weigh the pros and cons and listen to others. So I encourage you, find someone who is going to give you that other side. Make sure that when it's done, it measures up to God's word. Because if Rehoboam made any mistake, his mistake was not so much that he listened to the younger people instead of the older people. It's that when he sought counsel, he never stopped to seek God's counsel. God would have told him which of those two to listen to if he had just stopped and asked. And so make sure that when you are seeking that counsel, that it's counsel that's shored up by the word of God. Because that's where true wisdom is. But I encourage you, you've got to get other counselors who are going to gather around you, who are going to provide you with that wisdom, who are going to challenge you. Don't just find those who are going to affirm and validate. Don't just find those who are going to say what you wanted to hear to begin with. Surround yourself with wise counselors. Surround yourself with those who have been through what you're going through. Surround yourself with those who have climbed the mountain that you're wanting to climb. Find those who have tripped up on the obstacles that are in front of you, but by God's grace have overcome and been able to look back and see what those mistakes were. And share with you those things. But surround yourself with wise counselors. Because the reality is, you're not going to win this victory by accident. You're not going to win it alone. And you're not going to win it with foolish counselors. So when are you going to win it? Well, it just stands to reason. If you're not going to win it on accident, and you're not going to win it by yourself, and you're not going to win it with foolish counselors, you're only going to win the victory when you purposefully surround yourself with wise counselors. Doesn't that just make sense? If you can't win it on accident, you can't win it alone, and you can't win it with fools, you're only going to win the victory when you purposefully surround yourself with wise counselors. I don't have too much to say about that. I just have this one question. Who are your wise counselors? Who are you turning to? Who have you given permission to step into your life and help point in positive, godly directions. You won't win the victory without this. I know it's hard. It's humbling. Sometimes it doesn't feel humbling. It feels humiliating. But it's where the victory is. Have you ever wondered why God set Christianity up to be in congregations instead of just around home altars? Because He realized that we need each other. And we need people who are further along to help blaze a trail and shine the light and counsel us. Who are you getting to be your victorious counselors? Would you pull out your songbooks, please? I understand that the time on the clock has now got everybody questioning their faith on whether the age of miracles has ceased. But these are just some very simple things, and it's a profound lesson, and we don't want to mar it with anything else. Who are your wise counselors? I'll tell you what God counsels. God counsels that you surrender to Jesus Christ. Let Jesus be your counselor. Put your life in His. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Accept that counsel. Those who are wise and godly will give you that same counsel, because we know that's the path to be with God forever. We're going to be singing, "Don't You Want to Go to That Land?" I guess I forgot to tell you the number 969 if you need to turn there in your songbooks. If you want to go to that land, surrender to the wise counsel of Jesus. If we can help you with that tonight, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?